for argument is Zhang v. Gonzalez. Mr. Moore.
May it please the court, my name is James Moore for the petitioner, Zhu Juan Zhang. In this case, the adverse credibility finding by the immigration judge, which was the basis for denying Ms. Zhang's application for asylum, is not supported by substantial evidence. The IJ claimed that there were inconsistencies, significant inconsistencies, in petitioner's testimony regarding the dates of her arrest and transfer from custody from the police in Guangxi province to the PSB in Changhua City in Fujian province. However, petitioner's counsel at the immigration hearing told the judge that and raised the issue that the IJ was mistaken in his recollection of the dates, and that petitioner's testimony was consistent regarding when she first became fearful of arrest and when she then fled when she first tried to flee China.
It wasn't just date discrepancies, which might be explainable and immaterial depending upon the circumstances. It was far more substantial than that. It was factual discrepancies about the treatment that she was subjected to in her airport interview and her credible fear interview. She didn't talk about any arrests or detentions or mistreatment of any kind and was specifically questioned about that and given an opportunity to describe her claim, and she didn't include any of that. And so it was a far more substantial set of inconsistencies and discrepancies that really go to the core of the claim here.
That is correct, Your Honor. There was one portion of the IJ's adverse credibility finding was based on the petitioner's statements at the airport and at her credible fear interview. I would simply remind the court, as we raised in our brief, is that airport interviews, it's the first contact that an alien has with the United States government, and I would simply ask the court that an alien's statements at that interview need to be considered within the context of his or her circumstances. She had just fled China and, in fact, had tried to flee China once before and was caught at the border and returned to her home province after being detained for a couple of days. Ms. Zhang explained at her hearing that when asked why she didn't mention the arrest, she first stated that she was not asked that explicitly, but then she also stated that she was worried that if she told the officer that she had been arrested once before trying to flee China, that she feared she would simply be turned right around. And courts, although this court has never explicitly stated it in a holding, other courts such as the Third Circuit and the Second Circuit have noted that in that context, an alien who has just escaped persecution, even if they're coming to the United States, obviously, to escape that persecution, have no idea what the exact processes are, particularly in a situation where they're first told, you do not appear admissible, and this may be your one and all, and we may send you back right now. And so in the context of Ms. Zhang's particular situation, that she did not describe every detail of what happened to her.
Well, counsel, it's not just every detail. Okay. It's the core of the claim.
Yeah.
I mean, the core of her claim is the treatment that she testified to having been subjected to while detained, while she was under arrest. And that's the core of her claim. And she had two opportunities prior to her hearing to describe that to immigration authorities, and she was specifically questioned about any mistreatment that she was subjected to, and she didn't disclose it. So the IJ was entitled to reject her explanation as implausible under the circumstances, wasn't he?
Respectfully, I would disagree, because the petitioner, in this case, she was asked, why are you leaving China? And I'm not going to try to offer any of a plethora of explanations as to why she didn't mention the arrest and torture. Certainly she should have. It would have been better. But she did explain her fear of arrest on account of other practitioners of Falun Gong, whom she knew and her mother knew, had been arrested, and she feared further arrest. To be accurate in her statement, she feared arrest. So while she didn't mention while she did not describe the arrest and abuse, given that her explanation was still generally consistent, and as the DHS noted, it was consistent with what she stated at both in prior interviews, though it would have been better if she had told the officers at that hearing about what had everything that had happened to her, particularly the two arrests, given her fear of deportation, which the IJ did not really address in his decision, beyond to say, I don't find the explanation plausible because you're not a practitioner of Falun Gong, and yet you state you were a practitioner of Falun Gong. He then the IJ sort of garbled his rejection of her testimony in that regard. And so, though I acknowledge that that this is ordinarily, the inconsistencies in a prior interview are certainly generally an appropriate basis for an adverse credibility finding, under the context of the Ms. Jiang's situation, the IJ should have factored in her personal fear of deportation and at the very least addressed it explicitly in his decision. As for the other inconsistencies that he described, particularly as I noted, the IJ kept insisting that it was implausible that she would fear persecution because she was not actually a practitioner of Falun Gong, and she acknowledged she didn't have much knowledge of Falun Gong, but that ignores the fact that the petitioner consistently testified that she was the one whom her mother sent out to suggest to friends and neighbors that they come to their home and practice Falun Gong with her mother. And so it's not a question of was she actually a practitioner and organizer of Falun Gong in her community, but rather did the government think she was? And given that she was the one whom other practitioners knew to be the one to come to their homes and say, hey, would you like to come over to my house, or however she described it, that's what the government, the Chinese government, latched onto at the Public Security Bureau. And that's what, and therefore the, and because the IJ never considered that that imputed opinion, which this court has noted, Falun Gong is considered that an alien need not have an actual anti-government opinion to be eligible for asylum if they've been persecuted, so long as the persecution was based on an opinion or social group status or religion that the government thinks that the alien possesses. And also, as noted, the as I was beginning to say. The IJ claimed this internal inconsistency regarding a timeline, which he felt was very significant because it was related to when certain events occurred as to why she would fear persecution such that she tried to leave China the first time. And her attorney did point out to the IJ that her testimony was actually consistent, and the IJ went off the record, apparently tried to review the tapes, but didn't find that portion of the tapes where she was where she was providing that timeline, and simply decided, well, even though this issue has been raised, I'm still going to find you inconsistent, even though the transcript did later reveal that she was consistent on her timeline, and that she never did testify that her mother was arrested after she was detained. It was her testimony she learned after her release that her mother had also been detained and compelled to attend re-education sessions. When she learned about something and when it occurred are obviously two different things. And because of these, because the IJ's reasoning was not based on substantial evidence and the BIA did not, because the BIA erred in affirming it, we would ask that the petition be granted and these proceedings be remanded to the board.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Moore. Ms. Leon Brenner?
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court. My name is Terry Leon Brenner. I'm here on behalf of the government. This court should deny the petition for review because the immigration judge and the board adverse credibility determination is supported by the record. The inconsistency.
The problem I has that have there are a lot of things in the immigration judge's opinion that don't make any sense to me. For example, why would the amount of money she or her family were willing to pay to get out of China, why would that suggest that her motives were economic rather than fear of persecution?
From reading the IJ's opinion, it appears that that based on the treatment that her mother received as a result of being a Falun Gong practitioner, which was to attend re-education classes once a week for 2 months, and which was not a severe treatment, it appeared to the immigration judge that the extent that the petitioner in this case went to pay $68,000 for a fraudulent Chinese U.S.-American passport was extreme. And the immigration judge, considering all of the other evidence that had been presented that was inconsistent, found that to be implausible, that someone would go to that extent of having to pay $68,000.
Well, of course, the other side of that coin would be to say, well, she must really have feared something or she wouldn't have paid so much.
Your Honor, if she had feared something, when she arrived in the United States claiming to seek asylum with a fraudulent U.S. Passport, she would have told the inspection officer.
Well, that's a separate point. That's a separate point. The question is the significance that he attached to the amount of money that she paid.
Your Honor, I'm not going to speculate as to why.
But also, he's bothered that she didn't get documentation from China.
Well, actually, what the IJ said was that after being in the United States for 4 years, she could have received or obtained affidavits from her family to corroborate what she claimed had occurred to her, and she did not, and that the only corroboration that she...
Well, wait a second. How would that work? How do you get an affidavit from your family in China?
One has an affidavit written by a family member, and that affidavit is submitted, and then it's translated.
An affidavit is attested.
That is correct, Your Honor.
How do you get it attested in China?
One goes to a notary and attests that...
Some government officer, yeah. And You think someone associated with Falun Gong is going to get an affidavit out of China?
Your Honor, she could have also have obtained a letter from a family member, some type of corroboration. She had no corroboration whatsoever.
Don't you think her family members would be afraid to send letters to the United States to try to get her accepted for asylum when she had left China illegally?
Your Honor, even putting the corroboration
couldn't
aside...
Couldn't have considered the realities of what... I mean, it's a totalitarian country. You don't just casually get affidavits to the United States saying, oh, yeah, our relative, our daughter, what have you, she violated Chinese law. She left illegally. You're not allowed to emigrate from China without government permission. And... But, you know, she had a real fear of persecution by the Chinese government, and therefore you should let her stay.
Your Honor,
people in China aren't going to do that. That's ridiculous.
You
can't really believe that that's plausible. Someone would get an affidavit from a Chinese notary saying that... That my daughter has, you know, well-founded fear of persecution by the Chinese government?
Putting the corroboration point aside, Your Honor, assuming that this court...
Putting it aside.
Your Honor...
The issue presented here is in so many of these asylum cases is, granted that that the administrative judge could have written a sensible opinion denying asylum, but if his opinion is full of all sorts of implausible speculation, then does it meet the standards for rational administrative process?
If I may respond, Your Honor, the IJ's opinion is also filled with examples of testimony that she gave.
So what about this issue? So if you're an organizer, if you assist in Falun Gong, you assist them, but you're not a believer. Does that mean you can't seek asylum on the basis of persecution?
Your Honor, that is not an issue in this case, because the IJ found that she presented incredible testimony, so that was never reached. She did not provide credible testimony. That was the finding of the IJ and the board, so that issue is not before this court.
But why did he talk about... But he seemed to think it's significant that she was not a believer. Didn't he say that?
I believe the IJ touched on some of those things, because her story kept shifting from the moment she touched ground in the United States. First, she told at the secondary interview at the airport that she was seeking political asylum, and right at that interview, she admitted that she lied. She first said, "I heard I was going to be arrested," and immediately after she said, "No, I just lied to you. I heard other people were being arrested."
When the immigration judge said, "Yet the respondent testified that she never practiced Falun Gong, and her arrival statement admits that she knew very little about Falun Gong," What is the relevance of that? If her argument is, yes, she's not a believer, but she assisted in Falun Gong activities, and that, of course, exposed her to persecution.
I believe that the relevance of that is that the IJ was restating some of the facts that had been testified to at trial. Not all of the things that are in the opinion are findings. They're observations of what some of the things that the petitioner stated to during the hearing. The finding of the IJ was that her story continued to shift between the airport interview, the credible fear interview that took place 2 weeks later, and then 4 years later, we have a completely different story. And even assuming that as...
Why does he say this court believes that the respondent's claim that she helped organize group sessions with her mother, which led to her detention, to be utterly incredible? What is utterly incredible about it?
Because she also testified that her parents held Falun Gong sessions in secrecy. So at one point she testified that they were secret sessions, and in another part of the testimony, and as the IJ continued to say...
Well, of course they're secret. Falun Gong is illegal in China.
And that is exactly why the IJ found that it was implausible that if it was secret and it was illegal in China and they knew that she would be passing out flyers and going from house to house telling her neighbors, "Hey, we're having a session in our house today." So it was implausible. As she continued to testify, it became more implausible.
Where did you say that was implausible?
There's a portion in the IJ's findings where the IJ found that she first testified that it was conducted the Falun Gong practices at the home in secrecy, and that then she said that she told people that they were having the practices, and therefore he found that it was internally inconsistent.
If you have these Falun Gong people organizing these sessions, now in order to organize a session they have to tell somebody about it, right? How do you get people together for your Falun Gong? You know, it's these sort of exercise classes. How do you get people together without notifying them?
Your Honor,
these people don't have telephones, presumably. So how do you organize a session?
I wouldn't be able to speculate on that point. But that is not the finding of the IJ on the board in this case.
The immigration judge thought that this is what you just said. How could it be secret on the one hand, and yet she's going to neighbors and asking them to attend on another?
Well, that
seems to me perfectly good sense. If you're going to have a group meeting, you have to notify the people you want to invite.
This court is seizing on one, or Your Honor specifically seizing on one aspect of the IJ's opinion.
One aspect of the opinion, which contains others.
Your Honor, I respectfully disagree. The IJ specifically found
How do you think these Falun Gong people in China organized sessions.
Your Honor, that is not for me to speculate on.
Think they send an email?
She did not. I have no idea how they
organized practices. She said she went around and, you know, gave these people a Falun Gong leaflet or something.
One is to believe that part of her testimony because all the other things that she said were lies. She lied to the inspectors.
No, no, no. Look, you're changing your ground. What you said before was that the reason that he thought her testimony about organizing sessions utterly incredible, you said.
It was internally inconsistent.
Let me finish. You said it was. He was justified in saying it was utterly incredible because since Falun Gong is illegal and therefore secret, it's ridiculous to think she would have been going to the neighbors' houses and giving them flyers about the Falun Gong meetings. So my question is, what's ridiculous about that? If you're going to organize a group meeting, illegal or otherwise, you have to notify the people whom you want to invite to the meeting. So what's so incredible about that?
As I said, that is not the reason that the IJ found that her testimony was incredible. The IJ found that that was...
You gave, you said it was incredible because these were secret meetings.
Implausible.
Also, tell me, what is implausible if you're organizing an illegal meeting of notifying the people whom you are inviting to the
meeting?
Because
she also said that they held them in secrecy.
Well, how do you... You don't understand. Look, how can you... If you have a meeting, let's say, 10 people in secret. They don't all live in the same place. Now, how do you communicate to the other 9 that you're going to have a meeting? How do you do that?
I do not know, Your Honor.
Well,
that is not for me to speculate.
What do you mean speculate?
She did not explain that to the immigration judge. In fact, part of the finding of the immigration judge was that her testimony with regards to Falun Gong was vague, hesitant, and confusing. And she kept jumping from one part of the story to another, and she had very little knowledge about Falun Gong. And the decision does not hinge, the adverse credibility decision does not hinge on that.
Why is Falun Gong relevant? If she's simply being asked to help organize a meeting by going to the neighbors and giving them a handout of some sort, why would she be anything more than a gopher?
She lived at home with her parents, and if they were practitioners of Falun Gong, one should assume that she knew something about it.
So you don't think her parents are connected with Falun Gong at all?
I have no idea because her testimony shifted so many times.
Did the immigration judge think that her parents are not part of Falun Gong?
The immigration judge did not reach the decision. That was not before the immigration judge in that respect.
Before the immigration judge. You're suggesting that if you live with people who are Falun Gong, you must know more than she knew about Falun Gong.
I'm not assuming that, Your Honor. The findings were by the immigration judge. The immigration judge found it implausible that her learning from Falun Gong came solely from watching television, while at the same time she testified that her parents were practitioners and that she assisted her parents in the gathering.
The question is, does the immigration judge think that the reason she knows so little about Falun Gong is that her parents aren't really Falun Gong?
The immigration judge hinted at some point during his findings that because there were so many other incredible statements and implausible situations, that maybe her parents were not Falun Gong practitioners at all either. But that is not where the decision hinged. The decision of the adverse credibility hinged on the fact that she lied at the airport. She lied 2 weeks later. During her credible fear interview, then it was only during the immigration hearing that for the first time she comes up with the testimony about having been detained and tortured, even though during the credible fear interview and at the airport, if what she said was true, she would have had a fresh wound in her neck from supposedly being tortured by her interrogators. And when she was asked, do you have any medical medical condition from anything that happened to you in China? She said no. And she told that to two different inspectors on two different occasions. One, the moment she arrived in the United States with a fraudulent American U.S. passport, and then 2 weeks later, 40 days after supposedly the events that she claimed occurred in China. Therefore, under this court's standards of review, the question is whether the record compels a conclusion that petitioner was telling the truth, and I submit that it does not. And therefore, we ask that the petition for review is denied.
Okay, thank you, Ms.
Thank you.
Mr. Moore, how much time does he have? 1 minute?
I would simply say, Your Honors, that the petitioner did not, for the first time at her hearing, mention an arrest and abuse. That was in her asylum application. And we don't have the full record of the credible fear interview, so I don't know what was said there, but I do acknowledge she didn't mention that the arrest does not appear to have been mentioned, nor is there any indication that...
She also denied having been arrested
in
the first two encounters with immigration authorities. It's not that she just omitted something. She affirmatively denied. She answered no, she'd never been arrested. She was worried about being arrested.
Yeah. Well, when she was asked... And she stated, I heard that they tried to arrest me, and then later clarified that to say other people were arrested, I feared I would be arrested. That's when the interviewing officer at the airport stated, so you were lying. She never said, I apologize. The officer said, so you were lying, and she said, I believe she did say yes, but she was trying to explain herself that she feared arrest. I'm not sure that the record actually does indicate that she ever explicitly stated, were you ever arrested? No. Or that a scar that she encountered would be what she would consider to be a medical condition. But as Judge Posner noted, because much of the IJ's implausibility finding was not based on substantial evidence, was not supported by the record, we would ask that the petition be granted. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you very much.